We're going to be looking at the subject, the abiding Word of God. And when I say about the title, the abiding Word of God, God's Word is unchanging. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. You know, it is said that if you go to medical school, half of what you are about to learn won't be true when you graduate, because opinions and concepts will change. And this is true in every single field of knowledge. Until 1900, human knowledge doubled approximately every century. By the end of World War II, knowledge doubled every 25 years. And today, knowledge doubles every year. The Bible says, in the last days, knowledge shall increase. And undoubtedly, the internet has so much to do with that great influx of knowledge. This is what author, mathematician Sam Ardman calls the half-life of facts. Facts just aren't around for very long. In medicine, for instance, you never really complete your education, do you? As a matter of fact, if you're going to be a doctor, your education never ends. You constantly, with the rate of knowledge and information, constantly need to be studying. This is true with pastors and men of the Word of God. We need to constantly be studying and sharpening our skills in whatever field of service, whether you're in finances, whether you're in the field of medicine, whether you're in the field of education. Just to give you an instance, in physics, about half of all research findings will be disconfirmed within 13 years. In psychology, they say the opinions will change every 7 years. And isn't that interesting? If you graduated with a degree in psychology 7 years ago, half of the information in your textbooks is now inaccurate. And you have people walking around that say, well, I have the final word. But you know, you contrast the Word of God. The Bible claims to be the very Word of God, and God is the very fount of all knowledge. You can never go wrong when you bank on God's Word. When you place your faith and trust in God's Word, not the opinions of men, but upon God's Word is certainly forever settled. There's no half-life to the truth of God's Word. And I want us to look at five scriptures tonight before we go to prayer. And let's just rejoice that God has given to us His unchanging message. The unchanging Word of God. Now, methods may change. Approach and customs and cultures may change, but the message never changes. Look with me to Psalm 119. I'm going to give you five scriptures, and I'd like to have you exercise your Bibles and yourself by turning to each one of these. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Notice what the Word of God says. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. The word translated Lord there is Yahweh, the self-existing one, the one who always was. Now, if you're putting your faith and trust in the one who always was, and the one who truly sees all things as they are, can we go wrong when we're trusting in God's Word? You know, I've been in the ministry for over 45 years, and I will tell you this, I have never ever, to this day, ever encountered someone that was dying that regretted that they trusted God's word and based their lives on his word. But I can tell you of many who regretted departing from God's word, repented and regretted of the times that they neglected God's word in their personal decisions, in their lives, in the raising of their families. The word of God says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled." Has a monumental concept. Something is settled. It's got a firm foundation. A firm foundation in the things of the Lord. And I like that term, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, you place your faith in God's word, and when you get to heaven, you'll still be doing that. And you'll be glad you did. But is that true with many of the philosophies of the world? How many of you remember in the early 60s, Dr. Benjamin Spock and all of his methods in child rearing? And the mistakes and the aberrations and the results and the fruit of the philosophy of one man with child rearing. First of all, if anybody in my home was going to write a book on child rearing, it wouldn't be Pastor John, it'd be Melody. I might be a few footnotes here and there, but that would be about it, you know. But here's Dr. Benjamin Spock. The truth of the matter is, we're living, aren't we, with the fruit of that harvest. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 40. Let me give you another one here. We're going to look at four more, but the book of Isaiah chapter 40, and let's take a look at verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Men's philosophies will come and go. Why is it that so often you see teenagers have rock star idols? And you see the girls trying to fix their hair like so many of the, you know, Hannah Montana, Britney Spears, and you know all of the names, and I can't even come up with them because, frankly, I have no interest in all of those things. But you see people following cultures and music groups and all of these philosophies, and you have these gurus, these New Age gurus that come out of the woodwork, and all of these, and they're here today and gone tomorrow. Think of the Branch Davidian cult. Think of Jim Jones. Think of the many. The Bible tells us in the last days, many shall arise. False prophets, false teachers, many shall be deceived. But you know what? We're not going to be deceived because we have the Word of God. And remember, the Word of God says, if it were possible, even the elect, but they won't be because they have the compass of God's word. You can never go wrong by following the compass of God's word. Teach your children, your grandchildren, the importance of following the word of God. Now be careful, because even within fundamentalism, listen to me, even within fundamentalism, you have personality worship. And within fundamentalism, at least they call themselves that, you have many doctrinal deviance. So be careful that when you're trusting in God's word, that you're following what God's word teaches rather than what individuals may be saying. Oh, how we need to be careful. Let me give you another one. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. There's no half-life when it comes to God's word. It is forever settled in heaven. Notice Jesus says in verse 17 of Matthew 5, "Think not I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all things be fulfilled." Let me show you another one, Matthew 24 and verse 35. Matthew 24 and verse 35. The Word of God speaking of the fulfillment of God's Word and His promises, it says in verse 35 of Matthew 24, "Heaven and earth shall pass away." And that's true with the new heaven and the new earth, isn't it? Revelation 21 and 22. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Now, you bank on God's word, and let me tell you something, that's a good eternal rate of returns. You can't go wrong when you're building your life in God's word. And when you're facing the uncertainties of life and difficulties and the unknown of 2018, follow God's word. One last scripture that I'd like to give you, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter 1:23. Here the word of God says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. All flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Here today, gone tomorrow. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So in conclusion, when we realize the eternality and the abiding word of God, we need to read it, we need to embrace it, we need to obey it, we need to follow it, we need to believe it, and we need to share it. The eternal abiding word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, your divine message to us. And Lord, how so often fear comes into our hearts when we hear the prognostications of men and we fail to be driven to the word of God, to your divine pronouncements. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us the compass of your word. And Lord, may we increase in the knowledge of your word, and believing and embracing it in our lives. And Lord, I pray for our children and our grandchildren that, Lord, they would not depart from your word, but they likewise would face the crises that inevitably will come. Lord, things that we never have faced before, they will face someday and are facing. But Lord, your word is enough that we can be more than conquerors. So Lord, we thank you that you've equipped us and given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through your word. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.